Take your Bible this morning, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Once you arrive there, find chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. And then we're going to stand. I'll read this out loud. You can follow along silently. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. I'm going to read starting with verse number 1, and you can follow along. The Bible says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Look back at verse number 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful." Those words, "the Lord is faithful," that's the title of my sermon this morning. The Lord is faithful. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us. We need you to make a difference in this church service. We've all arrived here today. We came from different places, different types of homes. But God, we all came with a need, and that need is to hear from you. Lord, there are people of all ages and marital statuses. There are people that come from each part of society. And God, only you can meet all the needs represented in this room at one time. So take the sermon and meet our needs uniquely as individuals, as only you can. Holy Spirit of God, do a work that is lasting. Might we leave here today saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless us, change us, challenge us, make us anew. Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, but get glory to thyself in all you do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there if you would. I have a question for you. Ponder it. I'll get into the sermon pretty quickly then. Do you provide anyone with spiritual security? Is there anybody that is confident and secure spiritually because of you? There ought to be. There ought to be people that look to you and say, you know what, as I look to them, I'm more confident about my spirituality. That person helps to steady me. That person right there tends to help me be rooted and strong. I'm glad the Bible says the Lord is faithful. We live in an insecure world. It's hard to find people on whom you can depend. Now, I want to tell you something. I've not lost my faith in mankind. Now, I believe we are to ultimately trust God. And I would never put our trust in man one little bit above our trust in God. But I do believe that you and I are supposed to be dependable. I do believe we as a human race, I think especially as born-again Christians, that people ought to be able to depend on us. I think we are to live in such a way that we're attempting to be spiritually dependable. Have you ever asked yourself, have you ever taken a good long look at yourself and asked yourself, would someone consider me spiritually dependable? It ought to be that way. It ought to be that people can look at you and say that you can depend on that person spiritually. But I think we're supposed to be dependable as Christians. I think that children should be able to depend on their dads. I think children should be able to depend on their moms. I think husbands should be able to depend on their wives. I think wives should be able to depend on their husbands. I think leaders should be able to depend on their followers. I think followers should be able to depend on their leaders. I think parents should be able to depend on their children. And I think children should be able to depend on their parents. I think bosses ought to be able to depend on the employee. And I think the employees ought to be able to depend on the bosses. But sad, but true, that due to our sinful nature, none of us are as dependable as what we ought to be. None of us are as faithful as what we ought to be. But thank God, in the midst of unfaithfulness among even God's people, that there is one that's dependable. Always. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful." I'm not as dependable as what I'm supposed to be. I'm not as faithful as what I'm supposed to be. You're not as dependable as you're supposed to be. And you're not as faithful as what you're supposed to be. But I've got real good news for you. God is dependable. 100%. God is faithful. 100%. I got to thinking through the Bible. And all the people throughout the Bible that found themselves disappointed by undependable situations and undependable people. But you know, we often refer to, we say in the Old Testament, we say, well, in Bible times, so you all know, we're still in Bible times, to be honest. These are still Bible times. But when we look back in the history of the church, there's been so many letdowns. And the human race, we disappoint each other. We let each other down. But I'll tell you something, God's never let anybody down. You say, well, I feel like he let me down once. You probably were not seeing it right. Because God's never let you down. God's not the one that disappoints. God's not the one that's unfaithful. God's not the one that doesn't keep his word. He always keeps his word. He's always dependable and he's always faithful. I got to thinking through the Bible and the number of people in the Bible and the different scenarios in which they found themselves disappointed. They found themselves surrounded by or affected by somebody else's unfaithfulness. Let me talk to you about a few of them. I got to thinking about Cain, who was unfaithful and undependable. His brother Abel. Cain and Abel, the first two boys. One definitely let the other one down, didn't he? I mean, let's face it. Genesis 4:8, it says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." You know, it would have been great had Abel been able to depend on Cain. And he should have been able to depend on Cain. What a great letdown. A brother destroys and disappoints a brother. Now, you understand, both of them were taught how to properly live, and both of them were taught how to give a proper sacrifice to God. And the story is, both the boys were asked to bring a sacrifice to God, and one brought of his flocks, and the other of the fruit of the ground. Well, the sacrifice is always supposed to include blood. The boys actually had some contention about the whole thing, and in the process, Cain kills his brother. The very first murderer. How disappointing. How disappointing. And let me say this to everybody in here. Brothers and sisters ought to get along. And by the way, brothers and sisters ought to be encouraging one another in the Lord. You ought to be encouraging your older brother, and you ought to be encouraging your younger brother, and you ought to be encouraging your sister, whether they be older or younger than you. We ought to encourage all of them to serve God and to do right. And if they're doing right, they ought to be praised and encouraged for doing so. Brothers and sisters are not supposed to be a detriment to one another spiritually. They ought to be an encouragement to one another spiritually. But you can go all the way back to the first two brothers. What disappointment. I think of Adam and Eve. Can you imagine? Eve probably cried herself to sleep that night saying, "I can't believe the boys acted that way and that my own son has slain my son." But I look at the whole story and I think, you think about Abel killed by his brother. What a disappointment. What a disappointment when he should have been able to depend on his brother. But you know, I think if you went to Abel and you said, "Abel, what about that situation with Cain?" He would say, "Yeah, that's bad. My brother killed me." But I think Abel would say, "But there's one thing I knew going through it. God never disappointed me. Never. God was faithful, even when my own brother was not." And folks, as we go through life, you need to understand something. You will be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. But I got good news for you. Not by God. not by God. I think of a man by the name of Achan. Achan was a follower of Joshua. I'll read a passage of scripture to you. It says in Joshua 7:1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Here's the story. They'd gone to battle. They're going to war in Jericho. It was a very famous battle. The leader, Joshua, had said, "Now when we go to battle in this city, Achan, you are not to take of the spoils." In other words, when we win the victory, we're not going to walk off with all their gold and their silver and all their stuff. You're not to take the spoils of the battle. A man by the name of Achan decided that he was going to do what he was told not to do. And as a result of it, it created a mess for everybody. And I am just sure beyond any shadow of a doubt that when everything starts falling apart, Achan took what he was not supposed to take. And as a result of it, God was very disappointed and the group was disciplined because of it. Achan let Joshua down. Joshua was a leader. Joshua had clearly said, "Whatever you do, don't take of those spoils." That's what God said. Achan turned around and did it anyway. Now, you all, as leaders, how many times in life have you said to the follower, "Whatever you do, don't do this"? And the follower turns around, does it anyway, and creates a mess for everybody. And I'm sure Joshua was going, I just can't believe he did that. I made it very clear not to do that. And I know Joshua was disappointed, and people were hurt because of what Achan had done. But I will promise you this. At the end of the day, if you'd found Joshua in his tent, disappointed at the mess that Achan had made, the follower let him down, he was disappointed, I think you could say, "Joshua, what about that thing with Achan?" And I think he would say, "Yeah, he let me down. He made a mess for me." But Joshua would say, "But I can tell you one thing. God didn't disappoint me. God didn't. God was faithful. The Lord was faithful." And Abel could say, "Yes, my own flesh and blood, my brother let me down. But my God didn't let me down." I think of Lot. And I think sometimes there's a part of the story of this man named Lot that we miss. I'm going to read to you. I see Lot was unfaithful, and I see that Lot let some people down. He let his sons-in-laws and his daughters down. I'm going to read to you from the story of Lot in Genesis 19:14. It says, "And Lot went out and spake unto the sons-in-laws which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws." Here's the story. They were living in that wicked city. It's a historical city, known for its wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah. And God says, "I'm going to destroy that city because of the filthy sexual sin in it." And Lot had been living in the city very casually and just blending in. But God told Lot, "I'm going to destroy the city. Get your family out of there." So Lot goes to his family and says, "Look, we've got to get out of this city." And the Bible says, "And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, get you up out of this place." And it says, "But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws." You know what had happened? Lot had lived so casually and lived like the world and acted like the world. Now he's going to get serious about his Christianity. The city in which he's living is about to be destroyed by God. And he goes to his kids and he says, "Look, we've got to get right with God. We've got to get out of this city." And they said, "Oh, Dad, we've been living like this. It's a joke. What are you talking about? Getting ourselves right with God." I think he let them down. I think he disappointed them. Dad had allowed the family to drop the way they live and stop living right and intermingle with the world, or virtually intermingle with the carnal Christians, because there were probably other Christians there too. And then Dad comes along and says, "We're going to get our standards straightened out. We're going to get some things straightened out." And they almost think it's a joke. I could say he let them down, didn't he? You go to Lot, and Lot probably had to say at the end of the day, "Oh, what a mess. What a mess. I let my family down." But I'll tell you one thing. Those sons and daughters that felt let down by Dad, they might have felt let down by Dad, But you would, if you ask them at the end of the day, they would have to say, but God never let us down. God never disappointed us. Why? God is faithful. And when that follower Achan let Joshua down, Joshua was disappointed. But Joshua would have to say, but I wasn't disappointed in God. I was disappointed in that follower. And we were disappointed in our dad or father-in-law Lot, but we've not been disappointed in God because God is faithful. And Abel could say, I was disappointed in Cain, my brother. But I've got good news. I've never been disappointed. I've never been disappointed in my God. I thought of Absalom, a son who was unfaithful to his own father. I'll read to you. 2 Samuel 15:13 says, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Here, David is the king and Absalom is his son. And Absalom rebels against his father. And Absalom actually leads a rebellion against his own father. He becomes disloyal. He pulls some people together. They become disloyal. With intent to overthrow his dad. He splits his father's kingdom and creates disunity. He wanted his father's throne. Oh my, was David's heart broken. For David to see that his own son had forsaken him, his own son had been disloyal to him, his own son had hurt him like that. How devastating. And folks, let me say to everybody, there's a certain kind of love and admiration and respect that ought to be kept intact with your parents. And I don't think your parents are always right. I don't think parents are 100% right all the time. I think God's always right, but they're always your parents. There's a respect that ought to be kept intact, but let me tell you something here. I'm sure at the end of the day, David thought about Absalom, and if you had gone to him and said, David, what about this Absalom mess? I think he probably said, oh my goodness, my heart is so broken. But I think David could also say, but God's faithful. God's faithful, and Joshua could say, but God's faithful, and Abel could say, but God's faithful. And though Lot's sons and daughters had been disappointed and they were let down and they suffered loss, they would have to say, but God's faithful. Folks, I'm saddened at the character of people in our generation. It's anemic. I don't know if you all realize it. It used to be that you could go and borrow money off your name, not even off your signature. If they knew you, they'd say, well, I know you. You've got a good name. We can lend you money. You can't do that anymore. Why? The character of people, their understanding of integrity and honesty, it's just at an all-time low today. And let me say, more and more, we find less and less people that we can actually depend on. Somebody tells you, I'm going to do thus and so, you're not real sure they're going to do it. But I'll tell you, God has always been faithful. And the character of God is not anemic. And the strength of God is not weakened. And the dependability of God is at an all-time high. You don't have to worry. You may let me down and I may let you down, but God has never disappointed anybody. And if you say, well, he disappointed me, I'm sorry. It wasn't God that did the disappointing. Had to have been you or somebody else, because God always does right. God always keeps his word. God always remains true. God always is strong. God always does right. God always does the good thing. God always does the wholesome thing. Aaron in the Bible was functioning virtually like an assistant pastor. And he was assistant pastor to Moses, if you will. Now I'll read to you. The Bible says in Exodus 32:21, it says, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great sin upon us? Here's the story. Moses was on Mount Sinai gathering the Ten Commandments from God. The assistant pastor, Aaron, took over while Moses was off getting the Ten Commandments. While Moses was gone, Aaron, the assistant pastor, they just started getting wild. He was supposed to be leading the people to do the right thing. Moses comes back from the Ten Commandments. He can hear wild music. He can hear nudity and dancing. And that one, they were just partying. Moses comes back. And I imagine I would have liked to have seen him throw a fit. Moses came back. He took the Ten Commandments. He threw them down. He said, stop the music. What are you doing? He looked over. There's Aaron, his assistant pastor. Moses said, what are you doing, Aaron? Now, he was disappointed. Aaron let the congregation down. Aaron let Moses down. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, there's one thing Moses would have told you. He said, Aaron may have let me down, but God didn't let me down. God did not let me down. God has never, Moses would say, God has never let me down. God's faithful. And folks, so you know, you're going to pick a president someday and he's going to let you down. But God won't let you down. Some of you young people, you'll get married. And the day will come, you'll get married. And I have high hopes for you and I want your marriage to be happy. But I will tell you, your husband or your wife will let you down in one way or another at some time in the span of your lifetime because we're human and we're sinful. But let me tell you something. God will never let you down. God will never let you down. And to you that have no children at this time in your life, or those of you that your children are little, let me give you a little information. I don't want your kids to disappoint you, and I don't want them to let you down, and I want them to break your heart. But I've got news for you. The devil's smart and sin's out there, and better people than you have had children that broke their hearts and let them down. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to experience that. But I will promise you one thing. God won't let you down. Your kids may let you down, and your wife may let you down, or your husband may let you down, or some friend or some follower may let you down, and they may disappoint you. But God's faithful. God's faithful. Aaron let Moses down, but God was faithful. Demas was a preacher, and he had a mentor by the name of Paul. I'll read to you about this man named Demas. It says in 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Here's the story. Paul had taken a young preacher boy in. His name was Demas. And he had mentored him and taught him and trained him. And he had invested in him. And they had planned to take a very sacrificial preaching missionary type trip together. And when they got ready to take off, and Demas got a little wishy-washy. Demas got homesick. And the Bible says that Demas, he forsook Paul. He said right at the beginning of this thing, he said, I'm not going to do this. And Demas walked away from Paul. Paul actually wrote in the scripture, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I don't know if he was a mama's boy. I don't know what the deal was, but he wanted to go home. He left Paul. Paul was disappointed. I mean, Paul and Demas were to take this trip, and they were going to preach together and help people together. And Demas went home, and let me tell you all something. You're going to watch people that you invest in, and they're going to disappoint you. At work, you're going to train somebody, they're going to disappoint you. And at church, you're going to train somebody, and you just had high hopes, and you believe that they're going to do great things with their life. But the problem is going to be they're going to get their eyes on the world, or they're going to get their eyes off track. They're going to get to looking at things they shouldn't, and before long, they are messed up. And you say, but what about what I invested in them, and what I gave them, and what I did for them? I'm sorry, I don't want you to be hurt that way, but I have to tell you, people will disappoint us. You say, how am I going to make it through this? I've got good news. God won't let you down. God is stable. God is still the God He's always been. And when the follower lets you down, or a child lets you down, or somebody you love lets you down, or somebody that you invested in lets you down, hey, I'm glad for you and I to have a certain amount of belief in one another, and let's be spiritually dependable people. Let's get honesty and integrity in our lives. But may I say to everybody, you are putting your faith in a weak human race, and you need to always make sure that you're that faith that you really invest in, that leader ought to be the ultimate leader, Jesus Christ, because He will never let you down. He won't disappoint you. Aaron disappointed Moses, and Demas disappointed Paul, and Absalom disappointed his dad, and Lot disappointed his sons and daughters, and Achan disappointed Joshua, and Cain disappointed Abel and Adam and Eve, and all of them were hurt, and all of them believed the best would come from that human being. But in the end, at the end of the day, at the night, when they laid their head on their pillow, what kept them sane and what kept them from quitting is they realized God's faithful. God's faithful. And don't you ever forget, that's who we serve. That's who we serve. Bathsheba was unfaithful to Uriah. Bathsheba, and they were a married couple, and it messed things up. Boy, I'm sure at the end of the day, and I won't tell the whole story because of the amount of time that it would take, but in the story, Bathsheba and Uriah are married, and Bathsheba makes a mistake, and she goes into sin. At the end of the day, you can be dead sure Uriah's heart was broken. He ends up dead over the whole thing. But I think there's something Uriah could tell you. He could say, I was disappointed by someone that I loved, but someone that loves me, God, he didn't disappoint me. He didn't let me down. He remained stable. He remained strong. And I think sometimes you and I as human beings, if you love people, and if you want to believe the best about people, somehow we want to invest in one another, and we just want to believe that that person or this person, they never let me down, and they never hurt me, and they never disappoint me. And I hate it for you. I don't want you to hurt. But our belief in people becomes strong, and I think that's a good thing. You just got to top it all off with, but God didn't let me down. You know what? I'm still going to believe in people. You say, but isn't there a chance to get hurt? Yes, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm taking a chance. You say, but aren't you afraid it's going to destroy you? No, because I know ultimately it is God that is faithful. And I know ultimately where my faith is to be invested. I know ultimately the one that will never disappoint me. I'll believe in you and you can believe in me. But when we let each other down, don't let it soil your faith. God is still good. God's told us all along, man is tainted and man is weak and man is sinful. And we don't like to believe it about each other, and we don't need to ponder it. And we can take some faith and invest it in one another. But save your biggest dose of faith for God, the God that never changes, the God that will never let you down, the God that will always come out on top, the God of all victory. Believe in God. God's faithful. God's faithful. I think of Job and how Job's wife kind of bailed out on him. Job, in Job 2:9, it says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Huh. In this story, Job is suffering terribly. Satan attacks Job. He loses his business, he loses his health, he loses his friends, he loses his children to death. Job was God's representative and doing a really good job through all of this. And him and his wife are having a conversation one day, and she basically says, boy, you got a bummer of a thing going on here. Why don't you just curse God and let him kill you and take you off the face of the earth? Now someone might say she was just wanting mercy for him. And that may be the case. Could be. I just don't want my wife suggesting, why don't you just die, buddy? I there might be some mercy in there somewhere, but I just prefer she not express her love for me by saying, I wish you were dead. But Job's wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? I think there was probably a little disappointment there. You know, when you're going through a tough time, you're going to be disappointed because sometimes people aren't going to respond right to you when you're going through a tough time. But let me tell you something, God will always respond right to you. Always will God respond right to you during the tough time. You say, why? Because God is faithful. Here, Job's wife wasn't faithful. But Job would say, but God's faithful. Matter of fact, Job even put it this way, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Why would God say, or why would Job say about God, though he slay me, yet will I serve him? Because Job knew. He said, God's never let me down. And whatever God chooses to do, I just happen to believe that God's God and God's right and God's good and God's got my best interest in mind. God has never let me down. I believe Job believed that. I believe that. Moses was disappointed by Aaron, but not by God. And Paul was disappointed by Demas, but not by God. And Uriah was disappointed by Bathsheba, but not by God. And David was disappointed by Absalom, but not by God. And Lot's sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws were disappointed by Lot, but not by God. And Joshua was disappointed by Achan, but not by God. Gomer. There's a lady in the Bible by the name of Gomer. And she was a mother that disappointed her kids. I'll read to you from Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them, hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers." Here's what happened. This gal by the name of Gomer, her and her husband had children, and one day she walked off and forsook the family. She just walked off and left them. Now, don't you think there were some kids that were disappointed? How in the world does dad just explain that? But you know what I love about it? At the end of the day, those kids could say, yeah, I was pretty disappointed in the way my mother handled that. But the kids would all have to say, but God's faithful. God's never let me down. God's never forsaken me. God's always been with me. God's always been there for me. You know, I know we don't think about it a lot, but I just think there are people in this room right now that would say, you know, preacher, I look back and I'm pretty disappointed in my mom or my dad. And I want you to love your mom and dad. But I'll tell you again, not all of you were reared in situations where mom and dad really gave you much of the things you needed to make it in life. I think there's some of you really kind of got cheated in that department a little bit. And I'm sorry for you. And I don't want that for you. But I'll tell you this, God's faithful. Look where you're at. You're sitting in a church. You're hearing the truth today. Someone's trying to encourage your heart. You say, boy, some of the things that I missed out on when I was growing up, I'm sorry for you, but look where God's brought you. You're a born-again Christian, and you're in church, and there's somebody telling you, you can do this. And there's someone reminding you of the one who's never let you down, who's never forsaken you, who's never cheated you, and that's God. So, but I happen to believe that those children were disappointed in Gomer. But God's faithful. I think of Judas. Judas was hanging around with Jesus and all the disciples. Judas had given everybody the impression he was a part of the team. The Bible says in Luke 22:48, "But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Here is Judas giving the impression he's a good Christian, and everybody's got the impression, boy, he's a part of the team, and he's a part of the revival team, and I mean, he's actually traveling with Jesus. And Jesus actually says to him, he says, "You're going to betray me with a kiss?" You say, well, Jesus knew who Judas was. He knew he was a devil. Yeah, but you have to understand, Jesus died for Judas too. That's one of the ones that he loved that he died for. And his heart was broken that Judas betrayed him. I'm certainly glad, and I promise you this, at the end of the day, Jesus might have even said, Judas, he went his own way. But Jesus was able to say of his heavenly Father, but God didn't let me down. God did not betray me. Now, everybody in here, if you have not, you will. But most of you are old enough to have faced the betrayals of life. And I don't want anybody to face them. I don't want any husband in here to face a betrayal from your wife. I don't want any wife in here to face a betrayal from your husband. I don't want one child to feel betrayed by your mother or your father. I don't want one parent to feel betrayed by your children. I don't want any follower to feel betrayed by your leader, or a leader to feel betrayed by your follower. I don't want that for you. But my not wanting it, could I stop it? Will you probably face it? Have some of you already faced it? Is there a possibility you might face something again in your future? Well, if you have many years to live, the sinful condition of man, somebody's going to betray. They're going to disappoint. They're going to let you down. They're going to be unfaithful. And I want you to be faithful. But could I say, you probably won't be. You're going to hurt somebody too. But the good news that I have is that the God that we serve, He is faithful. You say, what's going to keep me going? Well, when the people that you love let you down, you cling to the one that loves you, and that's God. God won't let you down. God is not going to disappoint you. And boy, I could tell you story after story of disappointments. I'll tell you, when you, I want to believe in people, you mamas, Your hearts can get so heavy, and I'll tell you why, because you love your kids so much. Every mom thinks their boy is going to be the next president of the United States, and their daughter is going to be an Olympic gold medalist and memorize the entire Bible, and you love them, and moms keep doing that. But when they let you down, please know, God won't. God won't. You keep on going because there is one that's faithful. There is one that won't disappoint you. God is faithful to His children. I feel like they left me. God won't leave you. You say, but preacher, I feel forsaken by them. God won't forsake you. You say, well, I feel like there are people that now hate me that I used to love. God will never do that. God will always love you. You say, I think they've forgotten me. My own family, they've forgotten me. A friend has forgotten me. God will never forget you. They've lied to me. God will never lie to you. See, they died on me. They left me. God can't die. Your God will never die on you. So they changed. Something about them changed. Some of you have spiritual people that you used to associate with, and they've changed, and they're nowhere near what they ought to be, to the point where you have to love them from a distance because you say, if I get around them, they'll destroy my Christianity. Hey, I serve a God, and so do you. And He said, I am the Lord. I change not. He is still the old-time religion God. You say, but it just seems like they don't care about me anymore. Let me tell you something. When the human race ceases to care, God will always care about you. See, I used to feel like they'd keep an eye on me. They don't anymore. God's eye is upon you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Say, they've broken promises to me. I'm sorry. But God has never, ever broken a promise to one of His children. Ever. Ever. Hey, folks, all I'm saying to you is today, don't quit on God because of people. Don't quit on God because of people. Because God is faithful. Everybody's going to go through it. Just ultimately keep your eyes on the prize. That will keep you going. And when we get to heaven, one of the great things about heaven is we won't hurt each other anymore. I think to me, the greatest part about heaven is I can't wait to get to heaven. And there's two elements to it. I don't want to tell God I'm sorry anymore. And when I get to heaven, I won't have to go to Him and say, yeah, I blew it again. In heaven, I can't sin against Him anymore. And then I'll never have to say, brother, I'm sorry. I hurt you. I shouldn't have done that. I can't wait till I won't let Him down and I won't let people down anymore. But until then, we're going to be disappointed. So how am I going to survive it? Keep your eyes on the One who is faithful, who will never disappoint. And that is Jesus. That's God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know that for sure? Salvation is available. Salvation is free to you. If you've never been saved, we certainly would like to see you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a moment, we'll have an altar call. Not to embarrass anyone, but to just simply welcome them to the Savior. If you died today and you're not sure you're saved, we would like to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. So if you die, you can go to heaven. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I wish I knew that, but I don't. Pray for me. Would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand and I will pray for you? Say, I don't know that I'm saved. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't know that I would. Good. Another hand, someone else, you say, I'm not saved. Okay. Now listen, if you would like, we're going to have an altar call. If you come, we'll have someone simply take a Bible and show you how to be born again. We won't embarrass you. That's not the intent. But if you raised your hand, like a couple people did, and you say, I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. You come. When I see you coming, I'll have someone, a very capable man dealing with a man and a very capable lady dealing with a lady. We'll show you how to be born again. Now, another question. To those of you that are born again, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Let me again recommend to you, if your disappointments in people have blurred your vision of Jesus, why don't you push the reset button and realize, yeah, there's some people that have disappointed me, but God never has. Who here today would say, God has spoken to my heart today about this thing of not letting people's disappointments minimize or blur my vision of Jesus? I see it. I need to be reminded He didn't let me down. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You say, I just need to keep my eyes on the Lord. I got to keep my eyes on God. Amen. Lots of hands. If you need a moment, you may put those hands down. If you need a moment at the altar, you need to come and say, maybe you need to come and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I let what so-and-so did or what this person did or what happened there, I've let that put a distance between me and you. And God, I love that person, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you so I can survive this. You may come. The altar will be open. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, if you need to come and say, God, help me to refocus on you. Help me not to be affected by what that man did, what that woman did, what my mom did, my dad did, my husband did, my wife did, my kids did, my children did. Help me to keep my eyes on you ultimately. If you need time at the altar, you come. If you need to be born again, we'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how. You come. You say, I'm disappointed in my dad or my mom. I'm disappointed in a brother or a sister. I'm disappointed. A preacher, I'm disappointed. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I hate it that you're disappointed. I hate it that you're hurt. I hate the pain that you face. Well, let me help you through it. Oh, get your eyes on the prize. Look to Jesus. He is faithful. He will love you. He will meet your emotional needs and your spiritual needs. We live in an insecure world. It's hard to find people on which you can depend.